And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program if you need to. Still to come on the program this morning, we got April Marie Fogle, News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, one of our Friday regulars, and our other Friday regular, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stay tuned for that. But join us now. Very pleased to be joined by my next guest. He represents the 2nd Congressional District here in Alabama, Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, Jeff. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, thank you for coming on, and I hope you're having a good holiday season. Merry Christmas to you and your wife. We'll kick it off here. A new Congress coming around the corner, maybe not with the margins that Republicans had hoped, but it's still nonetheless, it will be Republican Congress. What do you expect in 2023 and beyond?
Well, you know, I'm excited. Obviously, when you start, the thing up here is the party in the majority, whether it's by 1 or 25 or 30 votes, whatever the case might be, we run the agenda on the floor. You run the committees. The chairmen are of the party in power. And so, actually, I was just talking to Jim Jordan this morning. Just the fact that he's going to be judiciary chair, and we have some opportunities to try to actually get to the bottom of some of the things that's happened in this nation. We need a great deal of oversight in a number of different arenas. And so we're excited about the things to come. And Kevin McCarthy promised when we did the commitment to America that we would, in fact, repeal the 87,000 new IRS agents. That's going to be one of the first things we do. So those are things that the American people can look forward to, and I expect us to lead in that manner in a way that makes all Alabamians and the country proud of us as conservatives.
You feel pretty good about what Kevin McCarthy is. He's going to have the votes to be speaker.
You know, it's still up in the air, and that's the thing. In conference, I think there were maybe 30, 35 no votes for him to get there. And I think in a lot of ways that sends a message. We're just trying to make sure that the rules are more member-friendly and not leadership-friendly. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, but I represent 780,000 people as of every other member of Congress. And so it's important that we have a say in the process of what bills get to the floor, what amendments get offered. So we're in negotiations, and Kevin obviously is the heir apparent, but there are certainly some things going on here, I think, that are going to cause him to come to the table and offer friendly rules for membership, and that's what we're looking for.
And otherwise, beyond the speaker, but just committee assignments, chairmanships, everything else, does that look like it's going maybe in a good direction?
Yeah, for sure. I think Comer's going to be oversight, and he's from Kentucky. He's going to do a great job in getting to the bottom of some of the things that Hunter Biden had going on with his laptop. There are just so many things right now, whether the money went to the big guy. There's things that we need to know, and there's things we need to get to the bottom of. And from a judicial standpoint, judiciary, I just think that we've got to make sure that we find out why it seems like the DOJ and the FBI are playing in these elections. They're pushing certain agendas, and we don't need that from law enforcement agencies within the federal government. And so I think there's things, Jeff, that we've got to get to the bottom of. It's not going to be easy for sure, but another thing that's encouraging is we'll control the purse strings. That's something that has not happened since I've been here. When you had one-party rule with Schumer, Pelosi, and Biden in the White House, we saw what it did to inflation. We saw the crisis on the southern border. We've seen things that this type of one-party rule leadership and runaway spending has done to the American people, and how it impacts your wallet and inflation and the economy overall. And so there are a lot of areas that we'll be able to make a difference. And certainly tightening the purse strings from a standpoint of control of the spending, I think is going to be a big benefit to the American people and to our economy.
Something else, I know this iteration of the January 6th committees about to no longer be with us to depart, but do Republicans need to take a look at that and what happened on that day right when you guys were first getting settled in the House?
Yeah, I think we have to look into why was it that Nancy Pelosi refused help when it was offered from the National Guard and different ways to secure it. It was her responsibility to secure the Capitol that day, and it was anything but secure. And I think we need to get to the bottom of maybe if the FBI agents were actually in the Capitol, what was going on. So there's a lot of things about January 6th that we have not heard, we do not know about. And again, that'll be part of the investigative process as we move forward in the next 24 months.
Congressman, let's talk about something else that's been in the news lately. 2024, you have one announced candidate, Donald Trump. But talk to us about this presidential election cycle, because it will kick off right away as soon as those midterms are over. As we speak right now, the machinery is getting put in place.
Yeah, and that's something that I actually was at Mar-a-Lago last Friday or Friday before. We spent some time with the president, and I'm going to endorse him, Jeff. That is actually the first time I've said that publicly. It's because I didn't know exactly where I was, and I had a meeting with him. I sat down, and you see a man who was a billionaire, who got elected from outside the political realm, came into power, and he survived two sham impeachments, made us a net exporter of energy, secured our southern border. There are so many things that he did. And here's the man who all his friends they came after his family, they came after him with the two impeachments. And yet he still led. He kept so many of the promises. And never mind the three Supreme Court nominees that overturned Roe v. Wade. And for that man to stay and fight for this country, he can ride off. I mean, he's a billionaire. He can go anywhere in the world he wants to and let this nation burn to the ground. And instead, he's going to stay and fight. And I think there's something else, that experience level. I think he made a lot of missteps early on. He trusts the political people on the Hill to get the job done. In a lot of ways, they blocked him. I mean, some from our own party, unfortunately. Certainly those from the other side and the media who's in the tank for the DNC. They worked against the man, and yet he delivered on so many things. But he found out a lot. He's so smart in a lot of ways that he sees now how he needs to lead going forward, where the minefields are. And honestly, I don't care who we send up here. If they're not a fighter and willing to drain the swamp, then it does not matter if they've got an R or a D behind their name. They cannot truly make a difference. Trump saw those landmines. I think he stepped on a few of them, to say the least, but he worked his way through. He's got some wounds, but he's willing to fight and not ride off into the sunset and let the nation burn. And for that reason, I'm going to come in behind him, and we're going to do what we can to get him reelected. And then that paves the way for the next Republican majority. That paves the way for the next Republican in the White House. He's got the experience. He's a tough man. He's a fighter. We need to get somebody here to drain the swamp, and hopefully that'll pave the way for great leadership in the future.
Well, and I'll tell you something, Congressman. I remember 2015, Lad People Stadium, and just being there that night, and you endorsing him, one of the first endorsements, at least in the state. I know Jeff Sessions was on stage with him, but the endorsement came much later, that following year. Talk about that. I mean, you've kind of been with Trump the whole time, the whole way.
Yeah, you'll find this interesting. And we were at Mar-a-Lago in a room, and it was me and Carrie Lake, Marjorie Taylor, a lot of people just a number of people that are leaders from the Republican Party around the country, and we're sitting at the table of the night, and he wanted us to go around and kind of introduce ourselves. There may be an 18 of us in the room, I don't know. And so I told him, I said, sir, I don't know if you know this, but I was actually the first elected official in the nation to endorse you in August 2015. And he said, I've heard that. He said, tell me how that happened. And so I just kind of told him the story, Jeff, about being in Lab People Stadium. Heather and I were in a bus on the south end of the stadium, and Joe Freeman stuck his head on the bus and said, any of you guys want to endorse Donald Trump? And I thought, here I am going to endorse a guy from New York. But we prayed about it that day, got a piece about it, and they told us that he has a 1% chance of winning the nomination and 0% chance of beating Hillary Clinton. So it's not like he hasn't been an underdog before. But at the same time, we went out and endorsed him. And when I told him that story, he said, come up here, I got to get a picture with you. So it was odd. Usually people want a president, a picture with President Trump. And here he was in that room wanting a picture with me. And it, to me, it kind of came full circle, because he got the stage to recognize us being on the Trump team early on. And that was just an amazing night. It was a full circle moment for my wife and I. And so we've been in this fight for a long time, and it's not always the easy thing to do the right thing. But I just think that having been there early on with him, seeing what he did in the White House, and a friend of mine who worked in the White House with him said, if you could show Donald Trump where he said something on the campaign trail that always trumped, if you will, pardon the pun, any other debate in the room, if that was what he promised to do, and that's what they did with the agenda. And that's what we need in leadership in this country, is so often people promise and never deliver. And so I think Donald Trump has been a man who has delivered on his promises in spite of all the opposition from every direction. And so we need to get behind him. And I think that he needs to be wise in picking a VP down the road. But it's a great moment for our country, and certainly for our state, if we can get him back in. I look forward to what he can do as a leader.
Yeah, and just one more thing about that Lad People's moment. I was there. I was covering it for Breitbart that night. It was long before I had a radio show here, but we were still living in D.C., I think. But I remember having to track you down in the crowd because you did that endorsement. It's so, the story's up on Breitbart somewhere where I actually quote you in the story about being that guy that endorsed at that event. But, you know, it's funny that you say that he's the underdog now. I mean, do you think that? Because I remember that day talking to some other, like, political so-called experts, and they were like, Donald Trump won't even make the ballot in all 50 states in 2016. Don't even worry about that. This is just a promotion. And they were wrong. I mean, he ultimately became president. But now you look at it, and you hear the rumblings out there. Do you think he's going to be an underdog in this election again?
Well, I don't think he'll be an underdog, but let's face it. When he announces, the attacks are coming from everywhere. And I think that it's important to know that he has people that support him. And he's a fighter. And I think no matter, you just never count him out. I wouldn't call him an underdog. I think he certainly has a great opportunity in the primary. But regardless, let's just be honest about it. Whoever we put at the top of the ticket, the left is going to come after him. The media is going to come after him. I mean, it unlike anything we've ever seen. So we just need somebody that'll fight and won't back down. And so, I just think that he is the man for such a time, and we've got to get behind him and make sure that we put him back in so that down the road we can truly drain the swamp. I don't think a lot of people are capable of doing the job at the federal level. We need an outsider. We need a man who's been here and done that, in a sense, and proven that he can get some success. And think about this too, Jeff. This is something you don't think about. 70% of the Republican caucus is new since Donald Trump got elected president. So the American people across the nation are waking up. And they're sending different Republicans. They're sending different leaders to this place. And it's because they want vox populi. They want actually voice of the people, not voice of the system. And so that's why we're seeing so many outsiders sent here. And I think, in a sense, they're calling for the man to come back. We've replaced a lot of the members in Congress that will get behind him. And, yeah, it ain't going to be easy. And sure, there's going to be the naysayers. I wouldn't call the man an underdog. But I'll just say that he's in it to win it, and we're going to be there with him.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District here in Alabama on the program. Congressman, we're nearing the end of your first term, and you're looking back these last 2 years, have certainly been bumpy being in the minority, but going into this situation and now kind of knowing the lay of the land, I mean, has it been different than what you had imagined? I mean, you served in the legislature, you had that experience, and I'm sure Congress is way, way different. But talk to us a little bit about these last couple of years.
Yeah, Jeff, Daddy always said the only job he started at the top was well drilling. And when I got here, we truly started at the bottom. We thought Trump would be the president, and we actually didn't have kind of a red wave down the ballot, I think, south of President Trump. But here we were with the mass shutdown, with COVID going on, with Nancy in charge, and it became almost like a regime in charge in a lot of ways. The committees, they were kicked Marjorie Taylor off committees. They kicked Paul Gosar off committees. That had never happened. So the one thing I think is different than what was in the state legislature, my best friend in the state legislature was a female Democrat, and we actually had conversations. Nancy ran with such an iron fist up here with such a hard left agenda that we had very little say in the process. So I certainly look forward to that, in a sense of making changes. And look, we've built some great relationships, and Jim Jordan asked me to serve on judiciary this next time around. And, I told him, I said, Jim, I'm not an attorney. He said, well, Chuck Grass is a farmer, and he's done a fine job in the Senate. So we have a story to tell from a standpoint of being a victim of the DOJ attacks. Obviously, Twitter took me down, and they took President Trump down. As we start to look for oversight on big tech and social media platforms, there's an opportunity here moving forward. I hope I've learned some things. I tell you one thing I've learned is, you got to play a little bit of a long game here. It's not something you can just do overnight, but we're stepping in the right direction. I think that you're going to be pleased with what we do. Certainly from my votes, I think, and from our caucuses. So, it was not easy. I will say that, but for such a time as this, well, like I said earlier, win the fight, and y'all keep sending your prayers, Jeff. It's much needed wisdom and courage going forward.
Last question. You mentioned this, but some of these investigations, I think Hunter Biden laptop is probably on a lot of people's list, what actually went on there. But do you see that just kind of in some ways being kind of a theme in 2023 and beyond?
That's going to be a theme. actually, too, I think we're going to have to look into to Dr. Fauci and the origins of the virus, and did we, in fact, pay for gain of function with U.S. dollars. There's some things that he needs to be called to the carpet on. Big tech, obviously, suppressing the Hunter Biden story, as not just what Hunter Biden and his family have been doing to enrich themselves off the backs of the American taxpayer, the origins of the virus, but also big tech and why they're suppressing certain stories. And I think two more things, too. I think election integrity, we've got to look into some issues around the country on election integrity. There need to be some arrests made there. And what is the FBI and the DOJ, why are they playing politics? Why don't they stay neutral and actually enforce the laws and actually have blind justice in this country? So we've got our plate full on corruption, and that's something we tend to address.
Well, Congressman, we appreciate your time this morning, and best of luck to you in the future. And as I said earlier, in case we don't talk again before Christmas, have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Jeff. Merry Christmas to all your listeners and to you as well. May the Lord bless this nation, and y'all keep sending your prayers.
Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.